In the name of Jesus, amen. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Out of those four, which is the shortest in length? It's Mark. Mark's Gospel is significantly shorter than the other three. Mark's writing style is concise. It's to the point. One of Mark's favorite words is immediately. It's an action-packed gospel. Things are always happening. And he moves his reader to the cross. Mark's writing style is abbreviated and concise, but today's gospel reading is an exception to that. Mark interrupts his own writing style to give us the full account of the death of John the Baptist. Mark's account of this incident is every bit as detailed as Matthew's and more detailed than Luke and John's. So what's so important about this event that Mark gives us all the details? Mark is writing to Christians who are being persecuted. That persecution is affecting them socially, financially, and even physically. And they no doubt had heard about John the Baptist and what had happened to him. And so Mark, in his writing, accomplishes two things. One, he gives them accurate information about what happened to John. And secondly, he gives them hope in the midst of the persecutions they are facing, that our Lord is still in charge, still in control. Anyone who wants to believe that trusting in Christ leads to a victorious, abundant life in this world has to reconcile those ideas with what happened to John. John was 6 months older than Jesus. His parents were elderly when he was born, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke tells us that after the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she would be the mother of the Christ child, she went to go and visit Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John at the time. We don't know how close that relative relationship was. It just tells us they were relatives. And when Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And Elizabeth tells Mary she knows why she's there even before Mary has told her anything. John was the one sent by God to prepare a straight path for the Lord. He was foretold in the Old Testament. It was John who witnessed the voice from heaven, John who baptized Jesus, John who saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove, John who ate locusts and wild honey in the wilderness, John who preached a message of repentance. It was John who ended up in prison. Why? Because he spoke the truth. Herod, not the Herod who tried to kill baby Jesus, he would be dead by now, but his son, also named Herod, had married his brother's wife. And as a Jewish leader, this was strictly forbidden. Forbidden in the Ten Commandments, it's adultery. Herod would have known that. He did it anyhow. John called Herod out for that. The woman involved, Herodias, nursed a grudge against John for calling her an adulteress, which she was, and she wanted him to be put to death. But she couldn't because her husband believed that John was a holy and righteous man. And so Herod puts John in prison. And that accomplishes two things. One, it stops people from hearing John's preaching, but secondly, it also protected John from the vindictive measures of Herod's wife Herodias. And the Bible tells us that though the preaching of John troubled Herod, yet he heard him gladly. Herod's wife, Herodias, would not be outmaneuvered. She was just waiting for the right moment. And it happened at a birthday party, of all things. Herod's birthday party. He throws a birthday party for himself. Invites all kinds of dignitaries, all kinds of big shots. It would have been a very lavish, festive occasion. His wife, Herodias, sends her daughter to dance for the partygoers. And even though the Bible never tells us her name, you might know it. It was Salome, or Salome. And we know that because the historian Josephus tells us the names of the people involved in this. Salome does such an entrancing dance for Herod and his guests that Herod, no doubt a bit liquored up, promises her anything she wants, up to half of his kingdom. Well, she goes and asks her mom, "Mom, what should I ask for?" Her mother doesn't tell her to ask for money or ask for her own island. This is the moment her mother was waiting for. She says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist right now." And so she does. The request of Salome sobers up Herod. Only moments before he had been enjoying the party, but now he is filled with regret. But he has to keep his promise because he made it in front of all these dignitaries. And he gives the order that the girl's request be honored. John's head is brought in on a platter, presented to the girl, who gives it to her mother. It was a gruesome event, a birthday party that probably no one ever forgot. Couldn't Jesus have done something to stop this? Couldn't Jesus have interrupted this chain of events to save the life of his cousin? Yes, he could have. And that observation would not have been lost on Mark's readers. So why does Mark tell them of this episode of apparent failure? It's pretty hard to get people to join your cause when people are getting their heads lopped off. And more than that, the one person who could do something about it to prevent it from happening doesn't. Mark uses this incident to point to what's coming. And there's more coming. And it's going to be good. The introduction to all of this might have slipped by you. It all starts with people wondering who Jesus was. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and doing miracles and raising people from the dead, and people were wondering, who is this Jesus? And Herod hears about this man and he says, I know who it is. It's John, who I beheaded, raised from the dead. What does Herod believe in? He believes in the resurrection. He's got it partially right. There will be a resurrection. But this is not the time or the place. The one whom Herod hears about is Jesus, the one that John had foretold was coming. The death of John foreshadows the death of Jesus. Jesus, too, will die an innocent death. He too will suffer injustice at the hands of those who hate him for pointing out their sins. But he will rise on the third day, not to haunt people or bring condemnation, but to bring forgiveness and the promise of the resurrection for those who will believe upon His name. And that's good news. That's the kind of good news suffering people need to hear. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all men are most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus does not promise a victorious life on this side of heaven, at least in terms of people being spared earthly trials and tribulations. In fact, He promises just the opposite. But the good news is, it's not just about this life. It's about drinking living water. It's about being delivered that life that has no end. Yes, John had his head lopped off. And through the ages, some of Mark's readers have experienced the same thing. It's not the end of the story. The end of the story is found in the resurrection. We need to hear that too. Because we think oftentimes, this life is all that we have, and when it's over, that's all I get. No. Christ lifts our eyes, our minds, our hearts to believe in something more. Given to us because Jesus lives. Lord, grant that we be faithful. Faithful unto death, which leads to our promised resurrection through Christ. In His name, Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.